Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to meet with you once again, and Jesus Christ is still on his throne, and he's getting ready to come back, and I thank the Lord for the folks that we have here with us, and we have Clark Block that is a big help, and then we have Pastor Al Davis of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and also we thank the Lord for all that are listening around the world. We know thousands of people from almost every country in the world are listening. We just got a new person from New Zealand, and that's a interesting island. And the pastor of Country Baptist Church, Mary Bay, that supports this program is from New Zealand. And then we have someone from Iran, the famous country that's in the news now, and used to be called Persia. And then the other countries from all over the world that are listening, we have from our contacts, we have over thousands of people that are listening. And I wish that you would all pray for the program, that God would speak to people's hearts as we get the message out. Now, the program, God said, I have honored my word above all my name. And so we talk on this program where the word of God is. That's what the name of it is, where it's God's word. And we call this equal time because so many people attack it. We believe God's word is the Bible, and we uphold that in general, and the King James Bible in particular, where we believe that it's the word of God. And, you know, I think of another passage of scripture that we've mentioned a number of times, but God gives out degrees, DD degree, but it's different than the usual ones that are given out. Because he said, my shepherds are all dumb dogs. They refuse to bark. Well, barking is very irritating. And we don't want to be called a dumb dog. We're at the time when the Lord can call us. We've lived past our 70 years, and he can call us. We don't want to get a DD or a dumb dog degree. So we're barking. And so what we're doing is, in this program, we're taking a stand for the word of God. And it may be very irritating to some people, but God has given us his word, and it's found in the King James Bible. And there's so many scripture verses that point to it like a laser. And even in Oxyrhynchus, Egypt, in a recent find, they've found a papyri there, and here it backed up the authorized King James Bible. We know that over 99% of the ancient manuscripts and ancient church fathers line up with the King James Bible readings. And what our problem is that in the name of translating and updating the King James, they have put all kinds of falsehood into the Greek text that they're using, the Greek and Hebrew text. And yet the great majority of Greek manuscripts, we say 99%, will back up the King James. And in the received text, there's hundreds of these ancient Bibles that have been translated in Europe, and they line up with the King James Bible. So God says, in thy word do I trust. And we hear people all the time saying, this is an unfortunate translation. And or they'll say, the Greek says. And when they say the Greek said, I think generally they don't even know what they're talking about, because there's dozens of false Greek texts, and there's also many Greek lexicons, Greek-English dictionaries, that are false, put out by people that are not even saved. And we always want to advertise books that will be helpful. I tell you that every preacher dealing with this subject, and I, for 30 years, I've been reading every book I could get my hands on, pro or con, for or against the King James Bible, and I'll tell you, it's made a believer out of me. I believe that I had the Word of God, and I have it. Today, it says in the book of James, we can look at the perfect law of liberty. It's something that I'm looking at right now as a King James Bible, and it's called the perfect law of liberty. It's perfect, just the way God wanted it, because he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And The Bible says the word of God is very pure, and the words of the Lord are pure words. The silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so when a person gets up there and says, the Greek says, this is an unfortunate translation, I just mark it down. He's showing off for one thing, and he's showing his ignorance. Because if he'd be honest about it, he would, instead of saying the Greek said, he would say, such and such a Greek text says, and such and such, such and such a lexicon is the definition given to that particular Greek word. And they wouldn't just say the Greek says when there's dozens of Greek texts. But we're here, and I'm glad that the Lord has given us this opportunity. And, of course, the Bible has been translated into other languages, and I know my friend Randy Johnson, I've had him on the program, and he works with an organization that translates the Bible, the true text that has come down to us in the Koine Greek text and the Hebrew Masoretic text, into the different languages around the world. And so that's where we have the thing. But we're going to start off the program today, and then we're going to talk about how man has fallen into the chaos that he's in today, and how it all started. It all started with Eve revising God's word. And but God has told us we have it. So we're going to have our scientist report from Pastor Al Davis at Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he can say whatever announcements he has and then give us the report.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and I remind people to check out the website at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find past programs as well as links to some of the materials that Bruce talks about. And so I encourage you to check out the website, whereisgodsword.com. And also, of course, I host a radio program on this station, 1220 WHKW, on Friday afternoons from 1:30 till 2, and Sunday nights from 11 until midnight. And it's a live call-in program, live with Pastor Al, featuring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And so I encourage you to give us a visit there, but you can find out more at whereisgodsword.com. So I encourage you to go there. Wanted to share something here. Got an explosive science topic here today, and literally, I guess in a sense, but in Genesis chapter 6, we've looked at Noah's Ark and the flood and some things with that before, but this is something, I just read this past week, and I just was astounded reading this. Let me read the passage here first. Genesis 6, starting verse 11, it says, "The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Now, this is the part I want to concentrate on. God told Noah to pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, normally, I've always looked at that and figured, well, you just wanted to make doubly sure it was waterproof. You know, the pitch on the outside would certainly make sense, and also on the inside in case any leaks sprung. But it turns out there may be more to this, having it pitched within and without. And I read a great article that was on creation.com dealing with Noah's Ark. And in this article, they cited two programs that I don't personally have satellite or cable television myself, but I have caught glimpses of some of these programs from time to time. But MythBusters and then another program called Smash Labs did a very interesting test where they, in both cases, they took some wooden walls and some cement block walls, and they tested them with explosive charges. For instance, the MythBusters segment, they took a wooden wall, and they made like a little frame, like a little room, and they put 5 feet from the wall, about 4 feet up, 2 pounds of C4 explosive. And when they detonated, of course, it blew a huge hole through the wall. And then they took a concrete wall, and they did the same thing, only to for that one they doubled the size of the C4, and of course it blew a nice hole through the wall. Then they painted both sides of the wall, a wooden wall, both sides of a concrete block wall with a bed liner, polyurethane bed liner, like you'd spray in the bed of a pickup truck. They set off the explosive on the wooden wall, again, 2 pounds of C4 explosive, 4 feet or 5 feet away, didn't damage the wall at all. They did the same thing with the cement block wall, didn't damage the wall at all. Smash Labs did a little bit more intensive test, and they did the test again with the block wall and the wooden wall, and blew holes through both of those, blew the walls down. Then they tried painting just the outside, and when they painted the outside, there was damage to the inside of the wall when the blast went off. When they painted the inside only, there was damage to the outside of the walls. But when they painted both sides, the walls survived completely intact. And now, the science part of this is, how would Noah have known this? How would Moses have known to write that? Most people would have assumed, well, just pitch it with, you know, on the outside. That makes sense. And keep it waterproof, maybe on the inside to help make it doubly waterproof. But when the ark was lifted up by the waters of the flood, there would have been great waves crashing into the sides of the ark. There would have been huge trees uprooted. And we know that trees before the flood sometimes grew much larger than trees that we see today. And those huge logs being propelled by those waves impacting the side of the ark, as well as boulders and stuff. I remember my wife and I, when we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, there was a storm that was going through, and we saw boulders the size of houses lifted up and tossed on top of the reef. Could you imagine things like that impacting the ark? Now, I'm not saying the pitch that Noah used was the same as bedliner, but it formed probably some form of a polymer coating from the bitumen tar-like substance that he probably used. But it would have added, in addition to the waterproofing, it would have made the ark impact resistant. Isn't that amazing?
And that's great.
Yeah, it took Mythbusters and Smash Labs TV shows to prove the Bible is true after all, huh?
Hey, man, I'll tell you, you come up with wonderful reports. I love those reports.
Said that one was explosive.
Yeah, I tell you, I've never heard that before. And the whole program here is we can trust our Bible. It says in God's word, thy word do I trust. And Jesus did it. If we say we are Christian, Jesus just said it is written. He never said a better reading is, or this is an unfortunate translation, or it should have been translated so and so. He never said something like that. It is always, that is, Jesus trusted what he had because God said he would preserve it. The words of the Lord are pure words. And so that's why we have this program. And I really appreciate those reports there. That was very fascinating that you just gave. Well, how did man get into the situation he is in now? The Bible says man was created in the image of God, but then it talks about that after Adam had fallen into sin, that he had a child and it was created in, the child was in his image. Well, his image was marred. And so since that time, every human being that's been born has had a problem, and that is a problem with sin. Now, I also want to mention one other thing before we go into this chapter, but I like to mention this book, Hazardous Materials. And, Pastor, if you could find where they could call and get this book and tell us something about it. But Hazardous Materials, it is absolutely a masterpiece. When I read some of the books that Dr. Riplinger puts out, it just astounds me. They're highly researched. They're very, very biblical. Which so many books dealing with textual history are not biblical at all. It's just human reasoning. And very interesting. And she talks about in there what is going on in the Greek departments of so many evangelical fundamental schools. And she has the documented evidence. She quotes the people that are putting these corrupt texts together. Many of them were not even believers in Christianity. They openly denied that Jesus is God. And so they're putting these things together. And I realized that in the Greek department where I studied They never told us where the Greek text that we were using came from. And it was years later that I did the research and found out where the Greek text was that we were using. And I talked to one fellow. He says, I go by the original Greek. Well, even the guy that used the word original Greek, he was an evolutionist, a spiritualist, and a Dolly worshiper. Westcott and Hort, those two rascals, and they put what they called the original Greek, what was original with them. And so he says, well, I believe in that. And I said, what Greek text are you using? He didn't even know where it came from. They're not even telling the students where the text came from that they're using many times. So what we're doing is we're telling where it came from, and we're using the received text. Now, this book, it's just worth it if every preacher should get this, because it's interesting, it's researched, it's biblical. Hazardous Materials, about 700 pages of information on the whole Greek controversy that's going on today. Now, our text is found in Genesis chapter 3, and this shows the fall of man and how it happened. Now, it says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, the serpent, this referring to the devil, and it says he was more subtle than the beast of the field. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said. So it's talking about the devil. So the first thing the devil opens his mouth is he says, yea, that is, yes. So he talks like he's in agreement with them. There's a lot of falsehood that goes on, and they come across as they're Christian, but in reality they're not. And then he says, yea, hath God said. So his whole goal is to question the word of God. And this goes on in seminaries and colleges, and it goes on radio and television today when a preacher stands there and says, the Greek says, or this is an unfortunate translation. He is speaking for Satan. God said he would preserve his words perfect. And we ought to believe that somewhere on the earth there we have his words. And it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so we have God's word today in the authorized Bible. But Satan, the first thing is that he questions God's word. Satan is a spiritual being that is highly intelligent. And that is the first line of defense. You see, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did he do? He said, it is written. He never said, this is an unfortunate translation, or better reading is, or the Hebrews said. He said, it is written. And he believed that what he had was true. There's a lot of people today, they'll talk about the originals, and the originals were perfect. But what they have today, they don't believe in. They talk like they do, but then you get them right down to it. They don't really have the Word of God. And some of them will stand up on television and say, we stand for the Word of God, and they'll wave a King James Bible. And then they'll say, this is an unfortunate translation, a better reading is. If it's the Word of God, you're going to correct God? If it's the Word of God and you correct it, you're correcting God. Isn't that right? Doesn't
Absolutely.
That make sense?
Right.
Yeah, you're correcting God. And God said he would preserve his word. Now, he says, did God really say that? See, that's the question. And yes, God said he would preserve his words. Now, the devil says, did he say ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman says, now, what is the first sin? The first thing that she does is she corrects God's word. She puts out a revised version. She puts out a new version of God's word. You see, what God said is found in Genesis chapter 2, and what Eve says is found in Genesis 3. She revises God's word. That's what they're doing today. The text that has come down to us from God in the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Koine Greek text, and also in the Italic text, the Syriac Peshitta, all of these translations that came down from the Word of God, that are the Word of God, they have revised today. Let me give you an example. For instance, in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says in the King James, in the true text has come down to the Textus Receptus, the received text, says God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, a seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. So what do the modern ones say? He who? There's no Greek evidence or Greek manuscript they ever found that says he who. But the modern versions say he who. Why? Because there's people that are unbelievers that are wolves in sheep's clothing that don't believe that Jesus is God. You say, well, what about the early church fathers? Ignatius of Antioch in 100 says God was manifest in the flesh, just like the King James Bible says it. And the woman said unto the serpent, we might eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So what's Eve do? God said, you may freely eat. So she takes off freely. Salvation is a free gift. If you don't accept it as a free gift, you will never make heaven. If you work for it, you'll never get there because your works aren't good enough. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says he has freely given us. So God says, you may freely eat of the trees of the garden. And she takes out the word freely. She makes out a revised version. And it says, of the trees, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. What has she just done then? She just added to the word of God. That's Jesus put a curse on anybody adding to the word of God or taking away from it. So what's she do? She says, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God just says, you shall not eat of it. He didn't say, neither shall ye touch it. She put it in her revised version. And then she says in her revised version, lest ye die. God said, you will surely die. You know, without Jesus Christ, you'll surely go to hell. And you better check your religion out and find out if it's true, because what you believe now in this life will depend where you will spend eternity. And hell is not a place that you want to go to. And so Eve says, oh, lest you die, it's possible that you might not die. God said, you will surely die. And so then the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So the devil picks up on her translation. No, there's no, all is well, there is no hell, you know. He's going to go there, so he's going to air condition the place where he thinks he's going to go. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the way that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the devil just says, well, God lied, you know. I mean, basically so. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now the devil appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The pride of life is you will be wise. The devil uses that line. The scholars say. What scholars say? See? Are they saved? Are they born again? The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. The problem is with these modern translations, there are people that do not believe in Christ and Christianity. They do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, that his blood takes away our sin, that we can have salvation as a free gift. And they are putting their falsehood into these lexicons, dictionaries, and into the corrupt texts that are being used. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open. And so at that point they fell. And all the sorrow and all the death and all the destruction and all the war, everything came because they did not have a weapon. Our weapons are not guns and bombs and bullets. Our weapons are the Word of God. It is called the sword of the Spirit. But when they put out a revision of God's Word and changed it, they didn't have a weapon anymore, and they were open to the devil. We have a weapon today, and that is the Word of God. It's called the Sword of the Spirit. It's in the Authorized King James Bible and translations that have come from that. Well, in thy word do I trust. And it tells us we
you
can know that we're saved.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.